Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David L. Johnston.
Now, I want to spend a moment on this. We talked about it last week, but one needs to know what is the difference between lust and legitimate desire. How can you tell the difference between lust and pure, proper, legitimate desire? Now, that's a really important thing, because I would never want you to take this teaching and because we're dealing with lust, how to live without lust, it does not mean how to live without desire. And here's why. The scripture says, have a good time in the Lord. And he shall give thee desires of your heart. He's going to put desire, legitimate desires in there. You're going to have legitimate desires, and it's God's intention that they be fulfilled in you. But how do you tell whether something is a legitimate desire or it's just a lust for something? And the scripture tells us the answer to that. I would have known it was sin, except there are the laws. They are verdicts given to us by God, so we know what's right and what's wrong. And I wouldn't have known lust, except that the law had said, thou shalt not covet after. Now, I want to just fill this in here. And here's how you tell the difference. Lust is a desire to do that which is forbidden. Desire is to do that which is right. You remember the idea that by the fruit, you know them. So make sure you catch this. A lust is a desire to get, have, do, participate in something that is forbidden by the law. It's categorically wrong. It fits into some long list category of things that are wrong. Whereas real, legitimate desire isn't to do something that's forbidden, but to do something which is right. That's why we must understand that marriage is not a cure for lust, but it is an achievement of a legitimate desire. So comes the scriptures. And says it's better to marry than to burn. What does that mean? And if you go back to the 7th chapter of Corinthians, where that passage, scripture occurs, it's not referring to lust at all. It's talking about in marriage, because the marriage bed is honorable and undefiled. And so understand that marriage fulfills the burning desire for love and genuine, proper relationship. But it can never cure lust. Big mistake. If you think, oh, I'll get married, then I can just be as lustful as I want to. Not. Because marriage is not designed to cure perversion. Perversion must be dealt with separately and apart and not brought into the marriage bed. Well, come on, somebody should say amen here, somebody. Oh, the devil got you intimidated or something. So it's important to know the difference between lust and desire that are genuine. So, let's proceed now with how do we live without lust. So, background. Your mind is the software of your brain. Your brain is the hardware. You want to look after the hardware, by the way. Nutrition, oxygen, blood flow, etc. You want to look after the hardware. That's why God, you know, some of the biggest bones in your body is protecting the brain, hardware. See? It's That's why you should wear a helmet. That's why you should never play football. And don't get into boxing. Sad, tonight, my wife and I will attend Awake, 52-year-old man, wonderful person, riding a bicycle, turned a corner with a helmet on, and struck a truck, never regained consciousness and passed away this week. God wants you to look after the hardware. And most of us do that. Most of us have a software issue, not a hardware issue. The mind is the software of the brain. So, as you're going to see, we need to do something. So, at the first level, well, we want to recognize that there are two separate sources of lust. There is external sources of lust. That is lust that comes from without. And that is what's illustrated by this diagram. It's outside of us, but it makes its pitch, it makes its appeal, it makes its intrusion. Hard to escape. Then there is lust that comes from within, internal lust. So we need to recognize that if we're going to live without lust, we need to deal with the external and with the internal. So here is the external, and here is the internal. It's a condition inside the software. Watch this now. Watch the diagram with me. Because this thing tends to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it affects how we see externally. A person with a lustful internal condition running the wrong software in the mind. Here's what the scripture says. They end up with eyes. It affects the eyes. Eyes that are full of adultery. When a person has this internal condition, they cannot see properly. They cannot look at a woman properly if they're a man or a woman a man or a even men are the men and women are the women. Because this internal condition affects our seeing. Now, listen to the scripture now. To the pure, all things are pure. Now watch the rest of the to the defiled, and let this is a defilement here. Everything is defiled because you see through the software condition of your mind. So, it affects seeing. Goes on to say, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised, with covetous practices, cursed children, they carry a curse. It causes them to forsake the right way and are gone astray. So watch now. We have to understand the two sources of lust. But the next thing we need to do is we really need to take notice of the consequences of the internal lust condition. So here we go. I want you just to enumerate them. The consequences of eternal lust. We just went through the scripture. I'm going to repeat the scripture. Number one, it affects your eyes. It's how you see things. Because it's an illegitimate software that has become embedded, and it determines worldview. And so it affects the eyes, having eyes full of adultery. It causes sinfulness. Remember the differentiation between desire legit and lust, illegitimate desire. Lust always leads to sin. Legitimate desire leads to doing what's right. Now, I don't want you to get upset at the moment yet. You can get upset later if you want to, but because most of us live or have lived, hopefully we have conquered, but if not, we will conquer. But we live with this dichotomy. It's almost schizo. It's double-mindedness. And so this war goes on in us. We have lust and we have desire, and we can't sort them out. It creates a seductive motivations. It says this word beguiling. An internal lust condition makes you flirt. Makes you want to act on this driving force. And then it creates this instability in your soul. Now, what is the soul? The soul is your mind and your emotions. Okay, and that's what I said a moment ago. This is this dichotomy, this schizophrenic, this. And so we better figure this out. That lust has this ability. In fact, the scriptures even say it point blank. They war against the soul. Damages emotions. And it's probably the reason why we have to have so many chemicals on the market today, because people can know they have lost their proper, pure legitimate desire for a spouse, because lust has so contaminated them at the soul level, their emotional level. Now we've got to have chemicals to create capability. It increases covetousness. Lust creates covetous, which is a desire for something forbidden or unhealthy. And of course, as you can see, it affects the heart. We're going to deal with that in a moment. And so this internal lust drives us to want to get and grab and clutch and grasp for ourselves, use people, abuse people. Yeah. It brings a curse. That is tough. It is not nice, and I cannot speak as authoritatively for you ladies as I can for we men. But it is not nice to have to live your entire life fighting with lust. Curse. It's an attached, negative, damaging, demonic embedded virus in the software of the mind. It's a burden. It's a burden. To have to always live combating this. Because we know we shouldn't, but we don't want to do. We do it, and we want to do. We don't do, and we... It's not normal Christian living, by the way. Because that description is found in the last of chapter 7 of Romans. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I've told you before what the meaning of that is. Delivering you from the body of this death was, in ancient times, they caught a murderer. They took the dead body and tied it on the back of the murderer, wrists and ankles. And the murderer carried the dead body around until it rotted, decayed, fermented. And then the diseased, infested body spread into the disease of the murderer. And he died a very violent death. Painful, slow, torturous death. Not nice. It's where the whole idea of my monkey on my back came from. God doesn't want us living with this thing on us all the time. And that's not normal Christian living. Who shall deliver me from this body? That's the next verse says, I thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, in great, the glowing terms, now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. See? So, carry the curse. It causes a departure from the right choices in life. This is so important to grasp. This internal lust causes people to forsake right ways. Can't see straight. Got this thing driving us. And we make wrong decisions. Make wrong life choices. Not based on love, but based on lust. And not only does it cause us to leave the right choices, but it causes us to choose wrong choices. And it makes us go astray. Now we're off track, and you can never run a good race on the wrong track. So it causes wrong life direction. Becomes an addictive lifestyle. Them that walk after. Can't help it. They walk after the flesh. They walk after the flesh in the lusts of this uncleanness. Yeah. And they can't. I think it's both timely and proper that our culture is starting to address what we call sexual addictions. I'm not sure the culture knows how to resolve sexual addictions, because they offer the mere psychological methods of reaction, formation, sublimation, rationalization, regression, etc. That's why a psychiatrist has a hard time helping people, because psychology tends to try to help people how to live with your guilt, but Jesus comes along and tells us how to get rid of our guilt. This is not about accommodating a sexual addiction so that you can have some degree of normality in your life. Okay. But rather, it's a wonderful deliverance. But internal lust causes us addiction, and it's a very difficult thing to get out of. And that's why I want you to take really good notes this morning, because it may be for you, but it may be for people you know. You know, there are several reasons why you are important as a person. One of them is because you're you. You're created by God, designed by God. He's got big plans for your life, plans that last eternity, and that's why you should really get connected with Him if you're not. He is your Father. That's why Jesus taught us to pray our Father, which art in heaven. He is your real father. He made you. Listen to Psalm 100. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. People can make babies, but they can't make people. It is God that puts the person inside the flesh, inside the body. He's called by the scripture the father of spirits. And your spirit is the real you, because one day you're going to leave the body, but you will live on. So you're important intrinsically because you were designed by God with an eternal purpose for your life. You're also important because you have influence with other people. There'll be people who get on track because you're on track and know how to get on track. And there may be people within your social influence circle that may perish. If we don't figure out that we're supposed to be the light to them and the salt. If we fail to be people through whom God can speak. If we fail to be people through whom God uses our eyes to see human need and hear the call for help and hands that can reach out and touch. And a lost person is lost forever. The stakes are of the highest. Now, it's not easy to get out of this lust thing. And I'm going to tell you a number of reasons, but one of them, let me give you from Scripture here. It's talking about a man got involved with a sensual relationship with a woman and says that those that go unto her don't return. None that go unto her return again. It is hard to get back. Watch your name. Because the double-edged sword here is this. And neither take they hold on the paths of life. Once in this condition, it is hard to get back. Now, this is a book of Proverbs scripture. And what's missing is you have to read further in the book to get the rest of the story. And you got to get past the big division after the 39th chapter in the beginning of the next 27. And you find out that there's no sin so evil, or sin so many times, that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse. To get back, you have to find the way back. The way back is found in a person. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the whole world through him would be salvaged. How so wonderful is this? He knows the predicament of man. He knows there's nothing broke that he can't fix. There's nothing damaged that he can't heal. There's no sin so grievous that his blood can't cleanse out of existence. But it is not a well-known way, the way back. In fact, the scripture says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So that's another good reason why you're very important, because there's not very many. It's difficult to get back. That's why we flee fornication. Now, the word fornication, this first part of the word fornication here is the Greek word porneo. Flee pornography, every form of it, in practice or in observation. Now, here's why. Every sin, every other sin that a man does not affect his body like this one. Every sin the man does is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He gets, she gets a deposit in the brain, in the heart. And that's why we need to give high attention to our subject matter today, because the way back is not found easily. Few there be that find it. So how do we live without lust? We recognize the two sources of lust. We take notice of the consequences, which we've outlined. Three, we must deal with each and both sources of lust. That is, the external and the internal. Okay? Must deal with both of them. So let's take a look at the diagram here, because here's what happens. There is a double issue going on. There's these external sources of lust, and then there is this condition in our own mind and software. Okay? And they both have to be dealt with. We must deal with each and both sources. Now, I know this is a term used mostly in economics and accounting. It's called the law of compounding interest. Well, let me see if I can explain this to you. Because now you don't just have this going against you, you've got this going against you. And these two things create a dynamic on each other, each one aggravating, exciting, stimulating, provoking the other. So if you have this condition over here, and then you get exposure to external lust, it's got an ally embedded inside. You know, it's kind of interesting. I probably should have put the scripture in here, but I failed to do so. Do you remember when Satan came to tempt? And by the way, he is called the tempter. Watch the diagram. Satan provides, empowers this external. So the devil comes and he's trying to tempt Jesus, and this is what the scripture says. He found nothing in him to which he could appeal. See, our problem is that if we have this internal lust condition, then this external lust has something inside here to which it can appeal, and it's got an ally. And then, because this condition causes us to see, we go looking for this. And so these two things compound each other. And aggravate the situation. I want you to see. This is what occurs. So here comes now the scripture. Where's this big temptation out here coming from? And the scripture's about to tell us. Every man is tempted. You ready? When he is drawn away of his own, not the external, but this stuff over here draws him away. So every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own, the embedded wrong program running in the software of the brain, the mind. And I said now, every man when he's tempted is drawn away of his own lust, and that's what causes the greatness of the enticement. He's enticed. And then when lust has conceived, all right, now watch here, because these scriptures are just right on the target here. When lust has conceived, watch here now, because what's going on in the mind, watch here now, what's going on in the mind is it's starting to conceive, watch this now, it started to conceive this. Watch, let me show you what it means. It means to formulate. When lust starts to formulate, when it starts to develop, it starts to meditate on it, explore it, exploit it, enlarge it, feed it, nourish it, and it grows stronger. Until it does something tragic. So when lust has conceived, watch this now. Here's what it does. It brings forth a sin. Sin is a... Remember back at the beginning how we tell the difference between a desire and lust? A legitimate desire always produces something right. A lust always produces something forbidden or wrong. So lust, when it's formulated and conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Death. Watch. Sometimes it brings forth death absolutely, immediately in time and space, and somebody's dead forever. But other times it brings forth death incrementally. So the death isn't absolute, sudden, complete in time and space. But it's graduated over time. See? A little here, a little there. It keeps bringing forth destruction. But I don't want you to miss that sin when it's finished. If you follow it all the way to the end, it's the ultimate, real-time, absolute death. But it's destroying you here and a little bit here. And here, and here, and here, and here. And this, my friends, needs to be understood by us. It brings forth death. And then it's interesting that the scripture tags the end of this portion with this sentence. don't make a mistake about this. If you're going to be dumb, don't be dumb about this. If you want to be stupid, don't be stupid about this. If you're going to make an error, don't make an error about this. For a man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And it brings forth sin. Sin brings forth death. Don't make a mistake about this enemy. So we must deal with both of these. So how do we get started? I can't believe the clock. Can somebody turn the clock back about 30 minutes? This is not going to be happy today. We have to deal with the heart first. You got to start with the heart. You have to start with the heart. Look at this now. Whoever looks on a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery with her, already in his heart. He may not do the act. He may not get an opportunity. He may not, circumstances may not work out. But man, this guy's got it. He's already done it in his heart. The heart of a person is the most vital part of the computer. It's called the operating system. Like the mind is the software of the brain, but the heart is the OS. Watch it now. Because out of the heart, that's where stuff proceeds. Thought, evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, etc. It comes, look at this. It's out of the heart, see? For as a man thinketh in his heart, whatever's going on in his heart, that's what he's really like. He may put on a mask and obscure, whatever, but what's in the heart? That's why, see, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. It's the heart has to be dealt with here. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Well, here's why. Watch here now. Because out of it are all the issues of life. That's why David, after his lust sin, knew that he had to start with the heart issue. And so Psalm 51, you should read the whole psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. Let me get back to the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Got to get his heart right. How do you get your heart right? Here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. First step is to make Jesus the Lord of your life. The boss, the ruler, master, under commandment. What he says, I'm going to do. You're the boss. You're the savior. I'm yours to command. Believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you the critical aspect of this part. You will then be salvaged. Now watch this. Because it's with the heart man believes unto being able to do what's right from now on. And with the mouth. I mean, it's true in the heart. It needs to come out your mouth. Confess it. And whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. Got to deal with the heart. But then the operating system, the heart, requires maintenance. You have to maintain the OS. And we've talked about this previously. You need to do firmware upgrades. You need to keep the heart updated. So how do you do this? How do you maintain the heart? So David asked the question, how can a young man, how can we cleanse his way? That's what we're talking about, right? And the answer is that at the heart level, you have to take heed to God's word. And that's why he said, okay, I'm going to do it with my whole heart. And no pieces, no partial. With my whole heart. So God, don't let me get away from your instructions, my whole heart. And thy word, with my whole heart, I have hid it. I have hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's how you maintain the OS. You keep it stuffed, up to date, firmware upgraded by the words of God in your heart. Then you have to run a cleansing antivirus script. Remember, the mind is the software of the brain. And most people have software issues. They got the wrong software, or they got virus-infected software that's affected the proper thinking. Okay? So we need to run a cleansing antivirus script. Let me show you. Here we are. The brain is the hardware. The mind is the software, right? The problem is we've got lust embedded here. And so what does that mean? It means that there's a software issue. There is a thinking pattern that has to be taken away. It's a virus. And people have lived with this virus so long, they think it's normal. And they look around at our culture and they watch our videos coming out of Hollywood and they listen to the music and they look at the advertising on the billboards and they see the magazine racks on the web. They think this is the normal way that brain's supposed to work. And the viral infection of lust has contaminated, I say to you, virtually the entire culture. I would call it brainwashing, except it is the opposite. It is not brainwashing, it's brain pollution. Because I think brainwashing is a really good idea. People need to get their brains washed. So now we got this software running. The mind's got this track it goes on, this way of thinking, the way of looking, way of seeing. And here's what needs to happen. I have to run the script. So how do you do that? So I'm going to give you the script for it. You need to confess this is a problem. Number one, you need to confess it. God, I got a software. I got a virus. Now watch this. Because when you run an antivirus software, it's a new program that comes in to destroy the old one. Right? So you can't do it yourself. He's going to do it. All you got to do is say, hey, I got this wrong program running. And he is faithful. And watch, he's not just faithful. He is justified in doing what he's about to do for you. He is faithful and just. Now, what is he going to do? Watch here now. First step, this new program forgives it. Yep, is there. First step, forgives it. Is that good or what? You ever had somebody forgive you? Joe, you know, I, way back in time, before I learned to handle money according to God's word, I had an $11,000 debt that a family just forgave me. I was broke. I had an airplane. I still owed out money on it, and I was like, at the end, I need to get rid of this thing. It cost me too much to operate. I flew from the Arctic to the South America. Money was scarce. And that family from whom I bought the airplane forgave it. Didn't even take the airplane back. Just forgave it. It was hard for me to believe. I remember reading the letter. Because I've been trying to be conscientious. I'm carrying this 11th. I can't remember if it was $11,000 or $15,000 debt. And now I didn't have it. And this merciful God, step number one. If we're serious about getting rid of this software issue, if we really want an antivirus program, first step is just forgives it. Treats it as if it's not there. And he brings in the antivirus program. Watch it. Watch it. And he cleanses it. All of it. It's not enough to be forgiven because he cleanses. I say, oh, just what does it mean to be, what's the difference between to be forgiven? That means you don't have to pay the debt. What does it mean to be cleansed? It means it's gone. That's why you should never doubt that the God who is able to create something out of nothing can also create nothing out of something. And that's what he does with the lust, the virus software, antiviral software comes in here and he cleanses it out of there. So look at this now. It's gone. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we ran the antivirus script. But now we have to run new software. Now the mind needs to run a new script, a new program, a new software. Here it is in Scripture. So what do? We got a program now that eliminates, casts down images, imaginations, images. Because imaginations are attached to every lust idea. Whether it's a lust for material things or a lust for sensuality, no matter what it is. So the new program, here it is, gives us the ability to stop wrong imaginations. And the new program enables us not only to cast down imaginations, but to cast down every high thing means something that's trying to look at that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against what's right. And the new software brings into captivity here every thought that has to do with doing what's right, doing what would be obedient to Christ. This is wonderful. Got new software. And next, let me tell you where some of the software is found. You should memorize Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9. You should memorize them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 to 8. You should memorize it. Philippians 4, 8. Eight ingredients in chapter, in that one verse, that should control thoughts. It's the new software. It's the software, because you know what it says, right? You remember this? Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, if there's any good report, think on these things. Now you've got a software that's capable of processing the incoming data. First Corinthians chapter 7, 1 to 16. 2. These are the kinds of softwares that we need to install in our minds. Now, when we get them, we have to maintain the new software. Upgrades, updates, yep. Refresh. Because here's how it works. This refreshment, this maintaining the Bible script comes from keeping the renewing of your mind. Remember, mind is the software of the brain. And we keep that software running. If the program is not running, you need to start it up. You do upgrades, updates, keep it current. Because there are new incomings that need to be handled that the previous installation may not handle. And now we need to prevent unqualified incoming data. We need to prevent unqualified incoming data. And you are now very close to knowing what you need to know in order to live without lust. We've got to address the internal. We've talked about that. Now we must address the external. So watch this out here now. Here is the external. Still, God's not going to take you out of the world. He's going to keep you in the world. The idea is you don't have to take the ship out of the sea. You need to keep the sea out of the ship. So, if you remember in the 17th of John, when Jesus is praying, I pray, Father, that not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them in the world. See, that's us. That's kept by the power of God. Watch my screen, the intelligence monitor. Watch the intelligence monitor with me. Because this new software degrades, dismisses, lessens the power of external incoming data. How do you do that? So I'm going to give you the script from the 23rd. The reference will be here somewhere. It's in your notes. It's the scripture that begins, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Next sentence, here it is. Put away from thee a froward mouth. It means corrupt speech. Why would you want to stop certain talk? talk. Watch this. Whatever comes out here goes back in here. That's why Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And the person you hear from the most is you. Be careful what you say. Put away froward mouth. And perverse lips, perverse, has to do with sensual, forbidden stuff. Put it far from me. So watch this now. You keep your heart by keeping your mouth, your lips. And then it talks about let your eyes look right on. Because remember how lust makes you see wrong? Well, the new way is to look different. You see differently than you did before. Because to the pure now, all things are pure. Now, let your eyes look right on. Let your eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't look to the left or the right. Ignore every distraction. Control what you see. Control what you allow here. Before, lust drove you to visualize wrong, forbidden stuff. But now, we keep our heart by keeping our lips. We keep our heart by keeping our eyes. And then we keep our heart by, I'll show you the third one in a minute. I just stuck this in because it's really important. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Because what we're doing now is we're preventing this from getting here and up here. Keep your heart by keeping your lips. Keep your heart by keeping your eyes. Keep your heart by keeping your feet. Watch where you go. Control your geography. Ponder. Think about it. The path of your feet. And only go in ways that you have established to be righteous, right, honorable, appropriate ways. Stay on the path. Don't turn to the right hand nor to the left. Keep your feet from evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And now you've learned a lot about how. Oh, I'm going to run through that. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Don't have to take notes. You don't have to take notes. I will give you a written copy of this next Sunday morning. And by the way, next Sunday morning, I'm going to show you two principles I haven't even mentioned, but they are the icing on the cake. They are the ones that really nail this thing. Done. I'm going to just run through. Computer commands that apply. You need to learn to delete. You need to learn to delete incoming stuff. Delete, 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 delete. You need to remove it from the trash. Empty the trash. Empty the trash. You need to friend certain associates, and you need to unfriend other associates. Because the problem with friends is it's a position of influence. You got to remove some software, You got to install software. These are all computer capable. These apply to, remember, your mind is a software of the brain. You need to reinstall some software. If it doesn't function fully, you need to put it back in again. You need to activate. You need to deactivate. We talked about that last Sunday, two Sundays ago. There's some things you need to subscribe if it's appropriate, and you need to unsubscribe. I love this button. I love this thing. I get emails, it's hard to find the unsubscribe button. Have you ever seen it? It's the smallest print on the page. It's at the very last, and it's almost disguised, but you need to use the unsubscribe button. You need to block some of the incoming. You need to save some things. You need to do a file comparison. Something starts once. Some out inbound data, need to compare if it fits, if it's compatible. And if you got stuff in there that needs to be removed, sometimes you need to look at the properties closest to investigate whether they should really be acceptable or not. You need a system file checker. You need a task list. A help button. This one's called pray. Come boldly to the throne of grace to find help. That's a great one. You need to create your own macro commands. Now, some of you may know how to do that or don't know what this means, but they are simple little keyboard strokes that instead of having to make five strokes, you could just make one and five of them happen. And there are certain things you want to find a shortcut to, a decisive way of handling stuff. The stuff you need to send out to other people, and there's stuff you should receive, and there's stuff you should download, and there's a whole bunch more. I'll give them to you in writing next Sunday morning.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.